You are going to listen to an interview about the conflict of individualism. First, you will have 45 seconds to study the task below. Then you will hear the recording twice. While listening, choose the correct answer, A, B, C or D, for questions 1 to 5. Put a cross in the correct box. The first one, 0, has been done for you. After the second listening, you will have 45 seconds to check your answers. Welcome to all the bookworms out there for today's interview with famous author Timothy Jenks, with whom we will discuss his latest bestseller, The Conflict of Individualism. Mr. Jenks, may I welcome you to our show, Literary News, which informs interested readers bi-weekly about current must-haves in the world of books.
Thank you. I have been looking forward to being here. You know, this is my first time on a radio show, and I have been feeling quite nervous. While I seem to be able to write decent books, I have been told that my voice is not the most pleasant sound in the world.
We have a lot of guests who feel uncomfortable about hearing their own voice on the air, but believe me, it is never as bad as you fear it is going to be. Now, from what I hear, your book has been hitting the bestseller lists once again. Would you mind explaining what your latest work focuses on?
Well, I have actually tried to cover a variety of topics I've been noticing over the past few years. My field of study is behavioural analysis, and I must admit that I see profound changes occurring in society. The growing conflict between mankind living in a society and individuals claiming increasing freedom to determine their own lifestyle was what first caused me to research this issue in more detail. Thus, I looked at what a sharp rise in individualism could imply for all of mankind today, as well as for future generations.
Since you have already mentioned a key concept explained in your book, what exactly are you referring to when discussing the term individualism?
As I outline there, it is my belief that the term has recently undergone some changes. Before, it merely referred to the fact that every one of us always differentiated between the function we fulfilled in society and the individual we perceived ourselves to be in our private lives. Individualism was nothing more than a term coined for a concept which enabled us to break free of certain boundaries set by society. Today, however, there is increasing evidence that the free choice to go beyond limits is ranked higher than the responsibility towards society. In other words, since individualism gradually ceases to be an alternative private lifestyle, there is the possible consequence that extreme individualists will stop performing their social functions. This effect could easily lead to a disruption of the unwritten sets of rules every society has and expects its members to behave accordingly too.
But haven't there always been members of any society who would not play by the rules?
Oh, of course. And that fact in itself would not provide us with any bigger problems than we had so far. However, what we see occurring now across the globe is a growing amount of recklessness of an increasing number of individuals in terms of the consequences their behaviour might have on the lives of others. To a certain extent, I point out in my book that this could have been caused by the typical characteristics of the modern media, which allow for us to be anonymous perpetrators who do not have to accept responsibility in the same way the real world demands. This fact could prompt people to take actions they would commonly shy away from. Most recent proof of this fact is the emergence of cyberbullying among even young school children. When I speak of individualism today, I refer first and foremost to a form of selfishness that, if ever spinning out of control, poses a danger to all the rules we have established in society and whose consequences might even be irreversible. I'm not saying that we are on the brink of anarchy, but we have turned our steps down a quite dangerous road by allowing this trend to push us towards destruction of society as we know it.
So how do you think this process could be stopped or even reversed?
Clearly, we have to spread awareness of this development so people take a close look at their actions and their consequences. As a second step, it will be necessary that we increase pressure to accept their share of responsibility on the people concerned. As for reversing the process...
Welcome to all the bookworms out there for today's interview with famous author Timothy Jenks, with whom we will discuss his latest bestseller, The Conflict of Individualism. Mr. Jenks, may I welcome you to our show, Literary News, which informs interested readers bi-weekly about current must-haves in the world of books.
Thank you. I have been looking forward to being here. You know, this is my first time on a radio show, and I have been feeling quite nervous. While I seem to be able to write decent books, I have been told that my voice is not the most pleasant sound in the world.
We have a lot of guests who feel uncomfortable about hearing their own voice on the air, but believe me, it is never as bad as you fear it is going to be. Now, from what I hear, your book has been hitting the bestseller lists once again. Would you mind explaining what your latest work focuses on?
Well, I have actually tried to cover a variety of topics I've been noticing over the past few years. My field of study is behavioural analysis, and I must admit that I see profound changes occurring in society. The growing conflict between mankind living in a society and individuals claiming increasing freedom to determine their own lifestyle was what first caused me to research this issue in more detail. Thus, I looked at what a sharp rise in individualism could imply for all of mankind today, as well as for future generations.
Since you have already mentioned a key concept explained in your book, what exactly are you referring to when discussing the term individualism?
As I outlined there, it is my belief that the term has recently undergone some changes. Before, it merely referred to the fact that every one of us always differentiated between the function we fulfilled in society and the individual we perceived ourselves to be in our private lives. Individualism was nothing more than a term coined for a concept which enabled us to break free of certain boundaries set by society. Today, however, there is increasing evidence that the free choice to go beyond limits is ranked higher than the responsibility towards society. In other words, since individualism gradually ceases to be an alternative private lifestyle, there is the possible consequence that extreme individualists will stop performing their social functions. This effect could easily lead to a disruption of the unwritten sets of rules every society has and expects its members to behave accordingly too.
But haven't there always been members of any society who would not play by the rules?
Oh, of course. And that fact in itself would not provide us with any bigger problems than we had so far. However, what we see occurring now across the globe is a growing amount of recklessness of an increasing number of individuals in terms of the consequences their behaviour might have on the lives of others. To a certain extent, I point out in my book that this could have been caused by the typical characteristics of the modern media, which allow for us to be anonymous perpetrators who do not have to accept responsibility in the same way the real world demands. This fact could prompt people to take actions they would commonly shy away from. Most recent proof of this fact is the emergence of cyberbullying among even young school children. When I speak of individualism today, I refer first and foremost to a form of selfishness that, if ever spinning out of control, poses a danger to all the rules we have established in society and whose consequences might even be irreversible. I'm not saying that we are on the brink of anarchy, but we have turned our steps down a quite dangerous road by allowing this trend to push us towards destruction of society as we know it.
So how do you think this process could be stopped or even reversed?
Clearly, we have to spread awareness of this development so people take a close look at their actions and their consequences. As a second step, it will be necessary that we increase pressure to accept their share of responsibility on the people concerned. As for reversing the process...